Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Lords Podcast with Will Rowe.
Hello and thanks for tuning in to the latest podcast. I'm very pleased to be joined by no fewer than three guests this month as we look back at the season just gone and ahead to England's series against Pakistan. We have Middlesex bowler James Harris. Welcome, James.
Thank you very much for having me.
Journalist and BBC commentator Lizzie Ammon.
Hello, Will.
How are you doing?
Good.
And All Out Cricket Magazine's Joe Harmon. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, Will.
Good to have you all on board. We've got plenty to get through today as we preview England's series with Pakistan, discuss the moments of the summer, remember some fairy tale sporting farewells, and take on the Lords podcast quiz. But first, I'd like to go to the Twitter sphere. We've got some questions through for you, James, under the hashtag AskJames. Many thanks for everyone for tweeting these in. James, first question comes from Kieran. What are your hobbies besides cricket?
They've kind of varied through my playing years, to be honest. I started off fishing, of all things, when I was very, very young, sitting by the lake for a couple of days. Turned very quickly to golf when I was in Cardiff, and then as I've left Cardiff and come here, it's now cycling. So I'll be seen on my road bike covered in Lycra many days off in the summer when it's nice and sunny, so that's where I'll be spending most of my time.
Fantastic. Well, that leads me into asking you, you're doing the big bike ride this year, starting very soon.
That starts on Friday, down in Truro in Cornwall, and then through 5 days of weather, whatever we get, we're gonna end up back at the Oval a week tomorrow. So yeah, that'd be quite a fun journey. I did it 2 years ago down from Durham and it went really well, so we're hoping and praying for some nice weather. Fundraising's been going well, but we can always do with more fundraising. And it's for the PCA Benevolent Fund and the Tom Maynard Trust, two great causes. So yeah, I think everyone's just about ready. A lot of training's got into it and all systems go come Friday morning.
Great stuff. And is it easy for people to donate to that, to support
it
you?
It is, yeah. On my Twitter account, at James_Harris9, I think it is, there's links to it on there. There's links to the Middlesex website and they've done a piece on there as well. So yeah, hopefully if people are able to donate, that would be fantastic.
Great stuff. And just before we come on to the next question, Lizzie or Joe, have either of you got the cycling bug? It seems to be going round.
In no way, shape or form, no.
Not at all. I honestly haven't been on a bike for about 10 years, so no bug there.
No bug.
I used to put my little boy on the back of mine, but that was really hard work, so we don't do that anymore.
Fair enough.
We'll be cheering old. James on, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will.
Well, I'm the only Middlesex player I can get onto a bike, to be honest. None of the other boys fancy joining me. I'd started in Cardiff before I left to join here. I managed to get Neil Dexter onto a bike. We've done maybe three laps at Regent's Park, and now he's tootling off to Leicester, so I'm back on my own. So if anybody does fancy doing some cycling, feel free to get in touch.
Will? You up for that?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, Middlesex, don't you? Yeah.
I cycle to work, and yeah, that's about as far as I'll go. next question comes from Ankita Saha. If you were not a cricketer, what would you be?
I've said a few wrong things when I've been asked this question in the past, because I'd always thought I was quite clever. So I always said that I'd have gone to university. I left school after college to go and play for the Morgan, so I never got to go and do that. But I always like to think I'd have ended up as a lawyer or an architect or something, you know, fairly clever. So I've probably got, I'm 25 now, 8-10 years left to play and be great. And then I'm probably putting me under a bit more pressure to try and end up doing a law degree to go down that route somewhat. But to be honest, I've got absolutely no idea, even at the moment.
Fair enough. Ben Dent says, how does it feel to walk out on the home of cricket pitch for every home game?
Yeah, that's incredibly special. And that was part of the reason I ended up moving here, to be honest. The whole when it came that I decided to leave Glamorgan, I knew that certain criteria that I wanted, and I did play at a big test ground at a great club, London became part of it as well, but to walk out here at Lords, you know, a fair few times every year to play for Middlesex is very special. And it's a tough place to bowl, I think, to start, and I found that out. I played for Glamorgan, although I had a little bit of success here, it's still taking time to learn how to bowl here, but yeah, it's a very, very special place, and to drive into the Grace Gates every morning is one I'll cherish every day.
Anna Forsyth says, do you see a Middlesex title challenge next year, and what do you need to improve to get there?
I do, to be honest. I mean, we played some really, really good cricket this year. We probably played a little bit too much from behind at times, and even though we won games from behind, we probably need to get out in front of games a bit more. From certainly a first innings point of view, get the really big scores on the board to put teams under pressure rather than putting ourselves under pressure a bit later in the game. We gave Yorkshire two magnificent games this year, who were comfortably the best team in the league, but barring a brilliant 100 from Johnny Bairstow up at their place, that game could have been very different. We could have beaten them at Headingley. I think they chased 205 down or something, 5 or 6 down in the end. And the game here was probably the best game of cricket I've ever been involved in. So, I mean, that was a very promising sign that we can keep pace and play well against the team that is the best at the moment. We just need to be as consistent as possible. And the biggest difference would be first innings runs, basically. I think that we ended up with 15 batting bonus points less than Worcestershire went down. So if we could get more first innings runs, get those bonus points, and that would lead us to be in front of more championship games than not. And I think through that we can mount a serious challenge next year.
And that leads on nicely to the final question. You've had a fantastic year yourself, 69 wickets. Dean Osborne says, how about 100 wickets next season?
That'd be nice. I think the always, whatever sort of year you have, you'd always say you want more. So to take as many wickets this year has been great. The nice thing is, I suppose, is that I could have bowled better a lot of the time. I've kind of got my... It normally went when I was younger that I'd always take wickets however I bowled. I'd always have a knack of picking up a few, and that seems to have returned. So even when I haven't bowled quite as well as I would have liked, I've still managed to pick up some wickets. But Windsworth work, bowl better next year than I did this year, and hopefully more wickets as well, and a few more runs would be grand.
Do you feel, moving away from the questions, do you feel that your bowling's improved because you've sort of reverted to your maybe original action?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. It just feels more comfortable, more than anything. I mean, I spent 10 years since I started playing, grooving that action and everything, and we spent a little bit of time ripping it apart, and to think that we could almost remodel something in 6 months and it would just take off and be better than it was before, you know, it probably wasn't the wisest idea in the end. And I'll get quicker, which was the aim, through being stronger and fitter and being in better rhythm more often and be able to bowl faster through longer spells. So I'm never going to bowl 90 mile an hour. I can bowl a lot better than I'm bowling now, and that's the kind of bit we need to work on. And yeah, there's still a lot of scope to get better, and that's one that we'll be trying to kind of achieve through this winter.
Lovely. I'd like to move the conversation on now to the England v Pakistan series. Well, following a successful Ashes summer, England are already out in the UAE to face Pakistan. It's a 3-test match series. Simple question, can England win it?
They can, but it'll be a massive challenge. These conditions are, they're not like anything that they face ever anywhere else. I mean, the pitches in the UAE are different even to the subcontinent. They don't break up in the way that they do in the subcontinent. The humidity is ridiculous. And you look down the list of who's in the squad, quite inexperienced players in there in relation to these sorts of conditions, and it'll be a massive test. There were some selection decisions to make about, at the top of the order, 2 spinners, 3 spinners, you know, 1 spinner. And it will be a massive challenge. It'll be really hard work for the seamers and some real pressure on the 3 spinners.
Going on to those selection issues, as you say, Lizzie, there's the top of the order and the spinners. They seem to be the main ones. What do people think regarding the opening spot? No Adam Lyth, he's been dropped. It's Alex Hales and Moeen Ali, straight shootout.
Yeah, I think Moeen's in front at the moment. Obviously, he got 20-odd this morning, which isn't quite enough to nail a spot. So it's still up in the air. I think for the balance of the side, he's the most he's the option that fits best for this tour. I think they can see it as a tour in itself. Obviously, Cook needs a long-term partner. That's for sure. I'm not sure Moeen's that guy. But I think it fits for this tour. The thing that I think will be fascinating is this English team play exciting, attacking, erratic cricket, which isn't really the style you need in the UAE. You need to be able to dig in and play some attritional cricket. So it'll be fascinating to see if they can adapt. There's huge pressure on Cook and Root to get the majority of the runs. That's not to say they're not up to it. Cook's done it in India before. As Lizzie says, they're not the same conditions, but there are similarities. So I'm always relentlessly optimistic with the England side. I'm struggling with this one.
Joe is always relentlessly optimistic. But Joe is one of the very few people who predicted that England would win the Ashes.
Thanks for reminding me about that, Lizzie. Very good. I think a 2-1 defeat is what I would predict,
you being relentlessly optimistic.
On this occasion, I just can't quite see it. I think Pakistan have lost once in the UAE in a Test series since they started playing there to Australia a few years back. So it's really hard to say that England are favourites for this series. That's not saying they can't do it, but I think even a 2-1 defeat, that wouldn't be a terrible thing. I'm sure that's obviously not how they're looking at it, but I think they've got a better chance against South Africa, which sounds a bit odd because they're the world number one side, but I think those conditions are much more familiar. But it's a fascinating winter of cricket, a really interesting one to come.
And at in the spin option, James, what do you think the answer is there? Adil Rashid to be given his first test cap?
He has to play. I think me, like everybody else, thought he's probably going to play in the West Indies on pitches that would be possibly similar to what they're going to face now. But he has to play, and if we're going to win this series, him and Moeen are going to have to bowl remarkably well against their batsmen. I think it's going to be a big battle between who plays the spinners best against either side, really, as it normally does come down to. So it's so hot. Especially this time of year, it's going to mean that the seamers are not going to bowl particularly long spells or anywhere near as many overs as they would do here. So the pressure's going to be all on the spinners, and if we're going to do well out there, they're going to have to bowl very well.
Do you think Samet will play out there?
Not to start with, I don't think. I think they'll start with what we sort of expect, with Moeen and Adil to start. But there's definitely a role for Samet. It's one for the everyman, isn't it?
What a story,
though. I love it.
It's brilliant. Because everyone was talking about...
It's one for all of us who like Mars bars.
Because as soon as Ansari went down, everyone was talking about the various options. And Samet wasn't really top of everyone's list. I think it makes sense. I think it's a good pick. He's a like-for-like replacement. It's nice having... Because they've got a off-spin bowler, left-arm spinner, and a leg-break bowler, which is great. Great variation to have out there. I don't see him playing unless there's an injury. Or unless one of them goes around the park and they're forced into a change.
Does it give hope to more county cricketers that you'll get selected on your county form rather than coming through the performance squads?
I mean, I think Zaffa was a case in point, wasn't he? Yeah. I mean, he was picked pretty much on what he'd been doing for... there is a problem with spin bowling across the country. We've not got rich pickings. But there's real opportunity if you stand up and be counted like Zaffa did. And Samet's consistent. He's always consistent.
He hasn't actually had a great
season.
He does
what he does, doesn't he? And he is, you know what you're going to get with Samet.
And the other question I'd like to ask, Joss Butler's not been in great form. Johnny Bairstow's out there. Do you think Butler might get dropped during this series? Or do you think they'll just stick with him for continuity?
Got to be a chance. I mean, England is such a better side with an informed Joss Butler in there. I mean, undoubtedly so. He's perhaps the most exciting cricketer in this country, but he has looked out of sorts. He looks to have got a little bit stuck in Test cricket where he's not really playing his natural game. I mean, his strike rate was one of the lowest of the England batsmen against Australia this summer, and he doesn't look quite sure whether to stick or twist. He only got one this morning, so that's more pressure on him. I would play him in the first Test. Two failures there, then perhaps you have to have a look at it, but I'd certainly expect him to play in the first one.
Johnny Bairstow's going nasty at the moment. He's 70-odd. I think it's a nice position for England to be in, that they have got options there. I think by the end of the summer, just looked tired, which is why they rested him at the back end of the summer. He's played a lot of cricket, playing all formats, and I think he looked tired and he needed a rest. But equally, once you've had a rest, you then go out to the UAE without any cricket under your belt.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, we all know how good a player Joss is. And, you know, he could well be in that England team for the next 10 years or so. I mean, he is that good a player. So you wouldn't want to push someone out the door and drop him too early. But likewise, if we're going to do very well, then everyone needs to be contributing. So he'll work out his game. He's that good. He'll get it sorted, and I'm sure he'll do well.
And James, on a personal point of view, so how far do you feel you're off sort of knocking on the door again?
I don't know. It's a really interesting one, because when you're out of the kind of system, you don't really get spoken to particularly. So, I knew that after two tough years here, the winter I moved, I went on a one-day tour to New Zealand for a couple of weeks, which was brilliant. But if you're not banging the door down every week when you play, and then you likewise obviously drop down the pecking order pretty fast, and there's pretty rich pickings in seam bowlers in England at the moment. There's a lot of bowlers ahead of me who are not on this trip, for example, on many other tours. So the biggest thing I can do is go and get 60, 70, 80 wickets next season and try and back up this year. And then you'll see where you end up, sort of thing. But yeah, I'd say I'm on a long way away, yeah, personally.
And it must be nice, though, from your point of view, to see your colleague Stephen Finn back in the England side. That's a lovely story. You know, that's someone that was in the setup, dropped out for various reasons, has now had a real resurgence and a great summer.
Yeah, it's great. Finney was one of the only guys I knew, actually, when I came to Middlesex. I played a little bit with him in the 19s and spent a bit of time with him. So to see where he was coming back from Australia and to see the way he was bowling in games this summer just gone. There was a game, actually, at Mission Taylor School against Somerset, and he bowled like the wind and was swinging it. And
it was really interesting, actually, that game, because he said he just... really tweaked, just a tiny tweak to the way he gripped the ball, and he'd been trying it in the nets and then thought, oh, Merchant Taylor, do you know what, I'm just going to try it, and it was incredible. He had them hopping,
yeah. And you saw at that point he was bouncy and he was swinging, yeah. It, and you just thought, yeah,
and then he went obviously off to Edgbaston,
yeah,
and there we go,
like a dream there, yeah. And that was it, and it's and yeah, it was great for everyone who knows Finny well to see that.
Great. Well, he might crop up in our next discussion as we move on to the moments of the summer. Now, the English season finished last month after yet another intriguing season of county and international cricket. From drawing the New Zealand Test Series to regaining the Ashes, England overall had a good summer on the field. The KP saga seemed to slip away, and Alistair Cook looked more secure as captain than ever before. In the county game, Yorkshire continued their dominance in the county championship, while Surrey and Lancashire were promoted back to Division 1. Lancashire also picked up the T20 crown, while Gloucestershire saw off their Division 2 rivals Surrey in the one-day final here at Lords. So I'd like to ask my guests, what was your moment of the summer? I'll start with you, James. I'm guessing a certain performance against Durham here at Lords might be up there.
That was a good day. From a personal point of view, yeah, as days go, that wasn't a bad one. I was bowling completely the wrong way. We'd messed up the day before.
Yeah.
We walked off in the afternoon as a Middlesex team. I think we got 400. I think we bowled them out for 280. Walked off as a bowling attack, seriously happy. I went in 10 overs later. We were 30 for 7, I think, or something. Trying to work out how we'd messed up such a great situation in the game. And we managed to get to 70 odds. Managed to get a couple of wickets that night. And then, yeah, the last day of the game was one of the days that will go down as probably one of the best in my career, certainly. I can't see me topping that too much. As a player, you probably get a few great days in a career, and that was definitely.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For listeners, I just to remind you, that was your 9 for 34 against Durham this summer. And Stephen Finn took the other wicket.
He did, yeah. He never got... Well, I was talking to Richard Johnson afterwards, and he obviously got 10 wickets, and he reminded me afterwards how hard it was to get all 10 wickets in the innings. But at the time when Jono had most of them, I think 7 or 8, the bowler then was told not to get anybody out, which, as a bowler, is quite a hard thing to do, almost. It only takes sometimes someone to miss a straight one, and you get an OBW or bowl someone out. So So yeah, I think Finney got the eighth one. I think it was caught inside edge onto pad, caught gully or something like that. So it was a pretty good wicket to get. But no, at no point was I ever thinking about getting 10. I was coming off after seven because I was getting towards the end of my spell and I was bowling into a pretty gusty sort of wind. So I was kind of asking for one more over all the time, and thankfully I managed to get the last two as well to get nine, which was a great day.
It was Graham Onions. He stuffed himself a couple of years
ago,
wasn't it?
When he the 10th was a run out.
But he won him out. He was a director himself.
He did it.
I'd have been missing that probably. If I got all nine at that point, I'd have been missing intentionally.
And Joe, what was your moment of the summer?
Am I now two? Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
You are.
One, just because it's really predictable, was the Stokes catch.
Yeah.
In amongst that madness on that first morning, Broad just taking a wicket seemingly with every delivery, and then that catch just out of nowhere.
Celebration.
And the celebration. That's the thing that will stick in your memory. And I think when people talk back to that series, that image is the one that will be there. And then another one, which is a little bit more offbeat. We were going to print with a magazine. All our cricket offices are based at the Oval, and there happened to be the Kent Surrey Royal London One Day Cup quarter final going on there, and Surrey looked completely through, all pretty much sealed. And then Matt Coles comes out and plays this just ridiculous innings from number nine, scoring 100, hit 9 sixes, I think, just farmed the strike completely. So the number 11 at the other end, I think, was Matt Hunt, barely faced the ball. So Coles would whack sixes off the first three balls, then block two, and then get a single off the next one, and came very close to getting a win there. But it made me think, like, county cricket gets a bad rep sometimes. This is a number nine coming in for one of county cricket's kind of smaller, less fashionable clubs, and he can hit the ball like that. I mean, I haven't really seen hitting as cleanly as that anywhere. We're up in the Bedsit stand, obviously. You've been there, Will.
Yeah.
And he was just launching one after the other straight at us.
just aiming for
you. Yeah, I was a bit worried about the windows. But it was just, an extraordinary innings from a guy who's had a very, very good year as well.
Oh, fantastic. And Lizzie?
I've got a couple. One in international. Here, right at the beginning of the summer in the New Zealand test, England were 30 for four or whatever they are, and Stokes came out and played that incredible 90-odd he got, didn't he? And just, I think that really changed. It was a real indication, wasn't it, of where England had got to, actually, in terms of changing the mindset, being a bit more positive. It was a really important innings. It really sort of set the summer up, didn't it?
Absolutely.
And it was a really important key moment. And in county cricket, from a sort of personal, emotional perspective, seeing Yardie get 100 in his final match at Hove was wonderful. And the other ones, the emergence of Sam Curran, who's bonkersly talented for a 17-year-old.
Poor old Tom, eh? He's taken, almost 80 wickets this year, and everyone's talking about his little brother.
And James, I kind of made you say the 9 for 34, but was there any other moment of the summer for you?
I think Joss's 100 to start off in the one day, the first one day game, the first England game of the summer, after what had gone on at the World Cup and all those things, to start the summer off like that and be 205 and get 400 and win the game, I think really signalled England's intent of change. I think that kind of carried through all the way. And certainly county-wise, I think for us to win here against Yorkshire, after being bowled out for 100 just after lunch on the first morning, for Ryan Sidebottom to get three wickets in the first over of the game on a gloomy morning here when we got stuck in, to come through and win that game for Toby Rowland-Jones to get 100 and then get a fifer, that was a pretty that was up there with probably the best win I've ever been involved in.
Great stuff. Now I'd like to move on to fairy tale endings. Talking about Geraint Jones here, he finished his career at Lords in the perfect way this summer. The former England keeper was on the winning side as underdogs Gloucestershire pulled off a tight six-run victory over Surrey in the One Day Cup final. It was his final professional game as a cricketer, and Jones, who chipped in with a 50, was carried off the pitch by his teammates in early evening sunshine here at Lords. As they say, you can't really write it. With this in mind, I'd like to ask my guests about their favourite sporting farewells. Joel, you can go first.
Mine was here, actually. 11 years ago, NASA's ton in what turned out to be his final test innings. I was doing a crappy job at a print company. The only advantage, I was saving money for my gap year, the only advantage was that my boss loved cricket, so I went into work on that morning. He was like, the game was really nicely set up. I don't even remember, they needed about another 250 and they're a few wickets down. So I was like, right, we're taking the day off, we're going to Lords and watch this brilliant match, and NASA couldn't get it off the square for a few hours, and then suddenly, obviously deciding this is it, it's my last shot of this, scored a runnable 50, got to a century, knocked off the winning runs next delivery, and then said, right, that's it, I'm done. I just thought it was a lovely way for him to go. And so he'd struggled a bit with the bat in his last kind of year or so in Test cricket. And so just play with that freedom and just let it all out was a really, like, really special moment. And he's obviously played such a big part in English cricket becoming more successful again. Obviously the next summer we win the Ashes, and Vaughan didn't get to, Hussain didn't get to do that as a captain, but he played a massive part in what was to follow, I think.
Absolutely. Lizzie?
Well, it doesn't happen very often, does it? Very often it's kind of whimper out, rather, yeah. Because people carry on too long. Even the great Bradman didn't do very well on his final innings, did he? But last year, Gareth Breeze, he finished his career winning the One Day Cup. Yeah. It's a place where you can have fairy tales, the One Day Cup final. It's right at the end of the season, and, you know, often people decide that's that when they get to the final. I'm done now. And he finished in the gloom, though, leaping over the advertising hoardings to find his family. Away from cricket, A.P. McCoy. And another one, Brian O'Driscoll, was a pretty good fairy tale. And it doesn't happen very often, does it?
Remind me of the O'Driscoll one.
Oh, James can do that.
No, I can't. My memory isn't that great, but I remember it being brilliant. But aside from that, going back to my cricketing one, probably growing up, Jack Callis was sort of my hero. So for Jack to get 100 at where was it? It might have been Durban. Against India in a series win, and I'd grown up idolising Jack Allison and kind of tried some sort of way to model my game growing up, and I tried to do everything basically, which he did so brilliantly. So for him to get 100 to kind of finish his career and send off in style is, like Lizzie said, something most people don't get too many chances to do. So for him to do that in that way was probably one that sticks out for me.
And away from cricket, do you have any that spring out?
Not many, to be honest, no. Nothing that's really springing to mind. I can't think of any. You don't get quite so many chances, I don't think, in other sports to have quite as much control over your farewell as you do in cricket. Being a batsman or a bowler, it tends to be centre stage on you. So in team sports, if you don't get chances, a footballer to bang in a header, you don't really get.
Yeah.
You kind of whimper out and your last game goes a bit unnoticed. But
I suppose Ferguson's title win in his last year at Man
special.
United.
Yeah, that was pretty special.
Particularly when a few months later you realise that he did it with a side that wasn't really the best in the country as well,
and he won the title by
a country mile. So that was a pretty impressive one. Hard act for David Moyes to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another story. Well, many thanks, guys. But to finish off the podcast, I'd like to do the Lord's podcast quiz. Lizzie and Joe, you'll probably be quite used to this. James, to explain the rules, it's quite simple. I'll give you a cricketer and a non-cricketer, and all you have to do is tell me who is the oldest of the two, and you win a point. Because there's three of you today, Lizzie and Joe, you can journos versus
journos.
The player.
Okay.
So,
that's fair.
So,
you can go first, Lizzie.
James has got a massive advantage here because Will always picks pop stars. I've never heard of.
Oh, I don't know. Find that.
Right, the first one, James, you to go first. Who is older, Samit Patel or Keira Knightley?
Keira Knightley's got to be older than Samit.
And journos, you can confer.
Yeah, Keira's older. Keira Knightley's older.
So that's everyone's saying Keira.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't keep up with this. It's Samit Patel is older.
Oh, no.
By
no
a few,
way.
He is, yeah. By a few months. So... Nil-nil going into the. It's the best.
It's a good start.
The best.
I was fairly confident about that. Okay.
Who is older? Journos, you can go first here. So listen, Joe. Who is older, W.G. Grace, or you've got to work out what year they were born in for this one, or Field Marshal Douglas Haig from the First World War?
I'd say W.G.
What year was he born? Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Alright, I'll go with WG.
You're going, so James, they're going with WG Grace.
I have not got a clue, but I'm going to go WG Grace as well, because I think that would have to be before.
You're, all three of you are correct. It is indeed WG Grace, born in 1848, Field Marshal Douglas Haig in 1861, in case you were wondering. So that's one all. James, Geraint Jones or Christian Bale? Batman or Glove Man?
I think you should have one of those things for every pair, right? That's the ambition from here.
I'm going to say Geraint. I think Batman's a bit younger. I think Geraint's... How old's Geraint? 37.
I can't give anything away.
Yeah.
Christian Bale.
No, I've got Geraint.
Should we go with the opposite? Just
yeah,
to, otherwise
yeah.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah,
we're all
there. Yeah, with the opposite.
It is Christian Bale.
Yeah,
he is older. He's 41. Geraint Jones is 39.
Oh,
there you go. So the journos take a 2-1 lead. A lot of pride here at stake. Wazim Akram or Russell Crowe? So Gladiator or
Warrior. <Yeah.
laughs> So Wazim Akram or Russell Crowe? Journos, you can go first.
Russell Crowe's a bit older, aren't you?
No.
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 All right, we're split.
What do we do? Just sent in
Lizzie,
the rest.
Let's go,
no, no,
and then I'll just point the finger if
yeah,
it goes
you,
wrong.
You can blame me.
So who are you saying?
I'm saying Wazim.
So Wazim is older.
I'm not. I'm going Russell Crowe.
It is Russell Crowe.
Oh, sorry,
he's 2 years older. So we've got a decider. This is fantastic.
It's almost like I scripted it.
James, you go first on this one. Who is older? Yourself or Wales Rugby Union captain Sam Warburton?
Sam's older than I.
But you're 25.
You already told us that.
Yeah, Sam's older than 25.
Sam's older, but that's gonna not... means we're going to end up with
a draw. You can't lose on purpose. You have to take the time.
We can't give it to a professional.
We can't have some match fixing going on.
All right.
You can't
we'll go with
Sam.
He is 2 years older. So, well, we'll have an honourable draw there.
That's
3-all.
That's probably fair.
Although we should have a handicap because there were two of
us. You should have done better.
Two people getting it wrong. That's it.
And to finish, James, obviously you've got the bike ride coming up after that. What's on your agenda this winter?
I'm going to be at home all winter, so I'm taking some time. I'm going to go on holiday to Mexico for 10 days, which would be nice after the bike ride. And I think as a Middlesex team, all the boys are at home and starting back first week in November. And then preparations for April basically start then. So the whole of October will be fairly quiet. I'll be keeping fit and then proper stuff will start back in November. So another nice, quiet, hard-working sort of winter.
Great stuff. Joe, All Out Cricket, it's gone to print again?
So it's out on Thursday. Got an exclusive interview with Joe Root, who's our cover star. A really good interview with Yunus Khan, which is, really interesting. You don't often see him in the Western press too much, and he's straight talking as ever. I spoke to Mohammed Amir, which was interesting as well. So, there's every chance. I think this is right, looking at the fixtures. I think if he doesn't play in this series against England, which he's not scheduled to do unless there's injuries, his first test back is likely, if he gets recalled, to be here. Obviously,
really?
I mean, he couldn't write the script.
I'm going to correct you with some MCC knowledge here.
Yeah.
The third test of that series is at Lord's, I think. Oh no, I'm going crazy. No, I'm going wrong.
First
sorry.
One's here.
I'm thinking of the Sri Lanka series.
Yeah, the first
the
one's here. It's a.
I got my face now.
There's a real narrative there.
There is a narrative.
But after I spoke to him, his agent has got me in a WhatsApp group with various Pakistani journalists. So I've been sent montages of Mohammed Amir bowling brilliantly in domestic cricket. With the Rocky theme tune in the background, which
really?
Is quite a good one. Yeah, it's
bowling well recently.
He's playing in kind of, I guess it's like grade cricket equivalent in Pakistan. Okay. I don't know how high the standard is, but he's taking lots of wickets and looking pretty sharp. So that'll be an interesting one. Obviously, there'll be different opinions on whether he should be coming back. Personally, I can't wait to see him bowl again.
Can I ask you something about that WhatsApp group? Do you chip in with stuff?
I can.
Do you
now
send
and again,
like emojis now and again?
I've just said kind of great or other such thing just to show I'm still there.
Insight from London.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, really, really good. Well bowled.
Sounds like an amazing WhatsApp
and
group to be
in. And you've got 21 questions with Middlesex's own Nick Compton, haven't
we?
We
do. How do you know that? You've got the scoop.
Only because your editor never stopped talking about
it. Oh, that's
it,
an entertaining one, yeah.
I can imagine.
They're well-crafted answers by Mr. Compton, so they're worth reading.
Can you give us any hints as to what he says? Or is
All I'll say is that we asked them for their... favourite sandwich. It's that kind of insightful, hard-hitting interview. And it's bizarre.
That could be anything.
Hummus, figs, parma ham, ciabatta. I mean, you know, Nick.
Through all this year, yeah, I do, yeah, and he could have said anything on that. He'd be very, very huffy and different would be the best way, yeah.
I saw Nick at we were doing a activation event with Middlesex down at Canary Wharf, talking about the T20 and the NatWest 2020 Blast this summer to get people excited and involved. And Nick turned up drinking just this green slush type thing. I said, what was that? I said, I don't know, it's just some like, I don't know, like fig juice, it's like some health drink. And everyone else had like cappuccinos or a coffee, but yeah, so he seems to be quite into his health and fitness. And Lizzie, what have you got coming up?
Well, obviously covering, keeping an eye on the UAE events in the UAE. I've got the Chris Cairns trial at Southwark Crown Court and a bit of hockey at my ripe old age.
Playing
and yeah, covering a bit for the Road to Rio.
Oh, fantastic. Is that the Great Britain team?
The England team.
Yeah. Are they good?
Well, the women particularly have got a good chance, yeah.
They won the...
Euros, yeah. They won the Euros recently, yeah. So, an eye on hockey, an eye on cricket, and hibernating in front of the fire when it gets cold.
Yeah. Sounds wonderful. Well, many thanks for all coming on. I hope you've had a good time.
Cheers, Will.
Thank you. Many thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next month with more cricketing stories from Lords. So remember to follow us on Twitter. Our handle's @HomerCricket. Be our friend on Facebook. And for all the latest news from Lords, just go to lords.org. See you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.